Can you think of a more charming city or a more charming name for a city than that of Canterbury? Canterbury has quite a rich history, and it played a rather prominent role in church history. So on this episode of 5 Minutes in Church History, let's go on a field trip to Canterbury. When the Romans arrived in the middle of the 1st century AD, they found an already thriving village there. Then they set about to do what the Romans did. They built their little city of Rome. It was built on the high ground along the river Stour. They built a forum. They built temples to their gods. They even built a theater. Well, this little Roman city lasted until the collapse of the Roman Empire around the 410s. With the collapse of the Roman Empire, the Roman army simply left. They abandoned Canterbury and returned back to Rome. This left the town in a bit of disrepair as they walked away from it. But about a century and a half later comes along Augustine. This is not the Augustine of the Confessions and the City of God, but the other one, the Augustine who would bring Christianity to Great Britain. In actuality, Christianity was already there before Augustine arrived. There were a small band of Christians. Augustine was able to organize them, and he also saw Christianity grow. In Kent, where Canterbury is located, King Ethelbert ruled. His wife, Queen Bertha, was a Christian, and she gave significant support to Augustine and brought Augustine to the attention of her husband, Ethelbert. Ethelbert welcomed Augustine. Ethelbert was later baptized by Augustine, and he gave Augustine significant land and resources. And on that land, Augustine built a monastery, and also the work began on what would come to be the famous cathedral at Canterbury. By 597, the monastery there was thriving, and it was essentially a university. These monks were not only committed to their scribal duties, it was also quite a place of learning. Well, in a few centuries along come the Vikings, and that, of course, had an impact on Canterbury. But we'll skip ahead in our story to 1066. This is the time of William the Conqueror and the Norman invasion. And as William conquered Great Britain, he brought with him Lanfranc. Lanfranc had been the abbot at Bec, a monastery, and William the Conqueror installed him as the Archbishop of Canterbury. When Lanfranc died, he was replaced by Anselm of Canterbury. This, of course, is the famous Anselm of the Middle Ages. He left us some wonderful works. Anselm wrote the Proslogion, in which we have the ontological argument for the existence of God. Anselm also wrote the wonderful book Curdeus Homo and the discussion of Christ as the God-man. And Anselm begins to focus our attention on the substitutionary atonement of Christ. Well, after Anselm, another famous archbishop is Thomas à Becket. Thomas à Becket was at odds with King Henry II. And in order to bring peace to the land, Thomas à Becket put himself in a self-imposed exile, as it were, and left Canterbury. Then Becket came back to Canterbury. And when he came back to Canterbury, four knights were dispatched from the king, and they found Becket and actually murdered him in the cathedral. If you'd like a dramatization of it, you can read all about it in T.S. Eliot's Murder in the Cathedral. Well, then in the late 1300s, along comes Chaucer in his famous Canterbury Tales. Canterbury was quite a pilgrimage site, and it plays a prominent role in Chaucer's tale. And in the prologue, Chaucer begins speaking of spring. And with the springtime, folks begin to go on pilgrimages. And Chaucer then tells us, "Then do folk long to go on pilgrimages, and palmers to go seeking out strange strands, to distant shrines well known in sundry lands, and specially from every shire's end of England, they to Canterbury wend." So we have this delightful city with a rich history, this city and its cathedral of Canterbury. I'm Steve Nichols. Thanks for joining us for 5 Minutes in Church History. As we finish this week's episode, here's a quote from that pioneer missionary, Hudson Taylor. "Let us see that we keep God before our eyes, that we walk in His ways and seek to please and glorify Him in everything, great and small. Depend upon it, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supplies."